So before we actually get into the message, we have to say thank you guys for sending us, Anna and I, on a balloon ride. As you saw in the video last week, you guys put us on a balloon ride in Asheville, and Anna and I had such a good time. For you, who everyone's very inquisitive about it. They want to know all the behind the scenes of riding in a balloon.
It was the least scariest thing we've ever done.
Yes.
Which was amazing.
Yes. You get in a basket, and then it's like riding an escalator. It's like you all of a sudden you just start moving. And then,
and you're just floating, then you're going with the wind. So I had a lot of crazy questions that I don't think he's ever received before.
Right.
And Josh was like, what is the matter
with
you?
Please stop asking these questions. You're embarrassing me. everything from how many times have people gotten engaged in here? Or is it weird when people make out in here?
Did anyone say no when they were proposed to up there?
Yeah, like Anna asked every question.
Have you had a bird land on the edge of the basket?
No, obviously.
And then you're going with the wind. So the thought of like wind gusts, that's not happening. You wouldn't be up there if that was the case. That's only in the movies.
Correct. Okay? Yes.
So it was just floating through the sky beautifully. We did hit a pine tree on purpose.
To slow us down as we were landing.
And
so he rubbed us into the pine tree.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when I say like we hit a pine tree, it was like this.
Yeah. But it was still exhilarating.
Anyway,
we're gonna hit a pine tree and then land in that guy's yard. And then before that, he tried to land us twice before, and then the wind was just forcing us to continue. So we would go back up. So finally he sees this open area. And one of the things we were like, how are we gonna land in that person's front yard? You know, it's amazing what we can do, right? It's just amazing. But we're going over these neighborhoods and all these kids are running on their deck. And imagine a balloon going right over your rooftop.
Well, yeah, like 20 feet.
Right, yeah, like
over
right
your
over
roof.
Your roof.
Yeah, like
that's
right
what
there.
They were cheering, we were cheering. It was like a balloon parade.
It was pretty spectacular.
Really, it was really fun.
Yeah, and the phrase of it that kind of sums it up, it's the most fun you'll have at 1 mile per hour. Like, you're not going faster than 1 mile per hour, and then all of a sudden you land. And
then it exceeded. God will do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. In our thought process, we thought we were the only ones arriving on that cold morning to ride in a balloon. Well, there's a whole group of balloon people there. And we were one of five balloons that morning, and it was just exciting to be with everyone. The whole process, we smiled the entire time.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. So thank you guys so much. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. And will we do it again? Sure, I'd love to do it again. It was something. Yeah, it was great. And then the last question everyone always asks, and I'll get rid of the message this morning, is did you spit over the edge? Yes.
But he wanted us to for wind gauging purposes.
Well,
or I don't know.
I spit because I wanted to see how far I could see it go. I'm going to be real with you. I was excited about doing that. That was exciting.
There was another pastor's wife. Her children surprised her with this. They were in a different balloon, and she was a small little woman. Our basket was it was the only one in North Carolina that actually had a door. So Sheila, who was with us, was really excited because Sheila's like 5'2". So this woman was really small, and she was like, how am I going to get my leg over that basket? What are they going to do? Like, her kids were losing it. So it was funny. There were three pastors that morning going up in balloon ascension. It was really cool. You know, you meet people along the way, and I think that's what's beautiful, even about the message this morning, that we're all on this journey together. And it's not always easy. It's interesting. It's an adventure. But when you put Jesus in the forefront, it's beautiful. So we're so thankful.
Yeah. Okay. Enough about balloons. I mean, again, I could talk about balloons all day because it was a lot of fun. Hey, so some of you guys in this room, if you're new, again, we're so thankful you're here. And this is not a normal type of message. Anna was, let me just say it nicely, in a good way. Yeah, Anna was like multiple times yesterday, hey, can I minister with you tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Well, let me minister with you tomorrow. What do you think about tomorrow? Like, what about me and you, like, doing something together? And I was like, clearly, we're going to do something together. So I said, you don't even know what I'm ministering with. She doesn't matter. Just give me your notes, and I'll just look at them. And I was like, well, I don't have any notes. All I have are just scriptures. She goes, that's all right. I can read the scriptures. I got it. So before you know it, like, she's writing down 1,000 pages of notes.
It's true. This story is totally true.
And I'm thinking, oh my gosh. So here we are. My message title, our message title this morning is Make Room.
I really saw it in my heart because it's the week of Thanksgiving. And, you know, not everyone gets to be together with someone this week. And there are quite a few people that are home alone or that are by themselves. And I thought of Joshua up here, and I just thought, let's just go up there full of the joy of Jesus and come together because, you know, for some, this is a hard week for a lot. And how beautiful it is for us just to be together and just to be together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and the other thing is like, look, right now, there's like 99 problems in your brain right now, you know? Like, I can think of 101 that I've got right now. And so, therefore, then you kind of, you're only looking at those bad things and not the good stuff. And we've got to begin to really look at what God is doing. And
That's right. And
it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to get aggravated and have that friction and allow emotions to arise that aren't godly. And that's where we have to be extremely intelligent and wise to what the Word of God says so that we can live a life that's pleasing to Him. Amen. So making room. So again, you can continue to allow the 99 problems to grow into 99,000 problems, or you can sit and say, you know what? I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be satisfied in the Lord. I'm going to let Him refresh me, renew my mind. I'm going to allow Him to refocus where my focus may be. You can get in your headspace and begin to create all sorts of craziness, or you can say, you know what? I'm going to allow God to renew me and refocus me because I want to make room for His good stuff. So that brings me into Romans chapter 12. So in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So many of you say, well, that's really easier said than done. That's easy to read. But how do I apply this? How is it even possible? How am I going to do this? Well, in verse 3, it says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you. I believe when Paul is writing Romans, he's actually, he admits, he writes down, I want to think in my brain that he writes the first two verses and then pauses and goes, yeah, right. Like, how is this possible? That difficulty moment. And then how, I'm sure he pauses and thinks, hey, I can write this, but who am I to write this? Because this is difficult. This is not easy. Yeah, to be a living sacrifice. I mean, there's so many moments that you just consider and go, I'm not good enough. And my gosh, I don't have time for this. Or it's so much easier to do that. And it's that wake up moment that Paul writes and he says, for by the grace given me, I'm able to say this, I'm able to write it, I'm able to do it, I'm able to be a witness, I'm able to walk in this. My gosh, how good is this? So, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance, and here is the key part, with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Maybe some of you in this room haven't recognized that you've been given a portion of faith. You've been given a portion of faith, and I believe it's distributed evenly among all of us in this room. However, the question is, are you acting upon it? Are you using that faith? I believe that's what's the difference. The difference between people and their portion of faith is not the magnitude or the amount of faith. It's actually how you're using your faith. Are you operating in your faith? Are you sitting here, even though the problems, I could list my problems. I have all kinds of problems right now. I'm going to list a few, okay? Is that okay?
Are you sure?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I got problems. I got all kinds of problems. This morning, I walk into the warehouse, and sure enough, in a location that I thought I got really nice and sealed up, there was a stupid bat right in there.
That's the problem you tell everyone?
Yeah, I'm telling them the deep problem. Some of you are like, this is our future home. Yeah, well, it laid dormant for 10 years, so these stupid bats want to live in this warehouse at times, and I found a bat inside. I'm thinking, how did you get in here? Because I sealed up all the holes. And there's that bat just looking at me. That was my number one problem this morning, right? And then yesterday, I am. Yesterday, we have this cat that belongs to my family, not me. And it decided,
it decided
to spray on our couch.
Oh, you guys.
All I'm smelling, I'm smelling something. Anna's like, I'm eating cottage cheese. She's in the kitchen. She's like,
No. Cottage cheese. I was just trying to make it that.
I'm like,
give Mary a break. I don't know.
Mary's the cat's name. I'm like, I smell something. Sure enough, I look over, and on the couch, there's something there.
Oh, it was a bad evening, y'all.
So, like, I'm freaking out, right? Man. Then during worship, I have a ladybug land on me, and I'm like, it's like, I just keep smelling. All I'm smelling is dead ladybug on my neck right now.
You should have saved it.
And do what with it?
Giving it to Carly.
99 problems, right? But then I have to think, you gotta stop with that notion of all of these things, yeah. All of these moments and issues, and you think, you know, I can do this. Yeah. Right. I feel like I've got 100 things on my plate, but I have to just recognize, you know what? The number one thing that I've got in my life is God. And God is so good, and He's merciful, and He shows grace. And that extends to every one of you in this room. It's just not my God. It's our God. And He's so good that He extends that mercy and that grace to everyone. And in those moments that you just don't feel like it, guess what? You know what? You rise up and you say, you know, I'm going to have faith that God's going to supersede in this circumstance, and I'm going to be okay. No matter where you are, no matter where you're living, no matter what you're doing, God is greater than the circumstance around you. And so it is the faith that God has distributed to each of you that causes you to have the ability to have our bodies as a living sacrifice that's pleasing to God. God supplies that to you in order so that you can walk in a stance of upright where you can say, you know what? God's got this. I'm not worried about it. I'm not in concern. I'm able to actually not be in a conformed pattern to this world. I'm able to be transformed, renewing my mind daily. I'm excited. Matt got me a jersey. I am so pumped. A soccer jersey from my new favorite team out of Brazil. And you know what? I'm excited just to go home today and put that jersey on. I'm excited. That's something, you know, that's one of those God moments. That supersedes the ladybug being dead on my neck right now. All right? That supersedes any issue that I have with rodents. And you know, I get to spend time with my wife today, my family today. I am worshiping God in this house today. All of that is better than any of those problems. And I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to allow God to come in and refresh me and show me grace and show me mercy. You know, I skip down to verse 9 here in Romans chapter 12, and it says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, I want to make sure that in my moments of frustration, in my moments, my issues, in quotation marks there, I want to make sure I ask myself, you know what? In renewing my mind, am I continuing to be devoted to one another in love? Am I showing love? Or am I showing frustration? Yeah. Am I showing hurt and pain? Am I showing a victim mentality? Am I honoring people above myself? Am I lacking in zeal, or am I showing, hey, you know what? God is so good. He's faithful and He's loving and He's kind and He wants to be there with you. But in in this, am I showing joy and hope and patience? Or am I cut off? Am I cutting people off? Am I trying to alienate everyone around me? Am I secluding myself? Am I being dormant? Am I running? Am I hiding? You know, asking yourself these questions causes you to be aware of your spiritual health, your spiritual barometer of sorts, where you can sit here and say, am I practicing hospitality? Am I walking in faith with what God has given me? And I think that's the key for me this morning, is making room for the things of God by eliminating what the enemy has tried to forge in your life, which is not solid, it's not good. God's looking for the precious metals to come out. You're it.
I like what he said about frustration. Often frustration can take over, and you find yourself dealing with your children, your spouse, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family, out of a place of frustration rather than a place of compassion in the love of Jesus. And God's love is radiant inside of you today. God is greater than that frustration. And the faith that we've been talking about this morning, the measure you've been given, think about that tiny mustard seed faith of what God's doing inside of you if you make room. I was thinking this week, it just popped up in my spirit out of Ephesians chapter 4, in the section of scripture of not grieving the Holy Spirit. But right in my spirit, the Lord said, don't give the devil a place. Don't give Satan a place setting at your table this week. Don't allow him to come in and just make himself comfy and sit at your Thanksgiving table to cause frustration, strife, confusion, fear. You don't give him a place in your household. And we often, when we're frustrated, if you're in a room that is full of clutter, or Josh is overwhelmed with our spice cabinet right now, currently, and he was like, you need to throw some things away. And I was like, I have. I've thrown away what I need to throw away. And he was like, okay. You know, I could tell there was a frustration there. But in that, he is correct. What I need to do is not use my tiny spice cabinet and make room in a place that is large enough, that's an open space. Some of you, you're trying so hard and you're stuck in the same small room whenever you need to just clear everything out and go to a wide open space. Why are you staying in the same spot when it doesn't fit? Why are you keep doing the same thing over and over again? Then you give place to the devil. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 27, it says, nor give place to the devil. Well, before that, he says in verse 25, therefore, putting away lying. He's talking to believers here. And what he's talking about is getting your flesh to submit to the Spirit of God. Your flesh is always going to combat what the Holy Spirit is ministering out to you. So you have to make this choice to say, Satan, I'm not going to give you a place today. Now, in the beginning, when you chose to follow Jesus Christ, you made that choice that day. Well, now it's a renewal every day of your life. It's not a renewal of your salvation. You're saved, but it's a renewal of your mind. It's a renewal of allowing the Holy Spirit to transform you. It's checking your words. Right? So he says, put away lying. There are people that get saved and they just keep on lying. Well, he tells you to stop. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. It's time for us to be the church in the church. We talk about being the church outside of the church. Maybe the church needs to stop lying inside of the church to one another. Lying can also be when you say, no, I'm okay, but you really need help. Reaching out and asking for help. Coming together with your brother and your sister, speaking the truth in love, fixing incidences where there's bitterness and wrath and anger. Then when he talks about being angry here, he's not talking about just angry at any old thing. When you read it in the Amplified, it means that sin or injustice, the things of this world that are harmful. He says, but don't get in sin with that. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, what is he talking about? Don't get so frustrated that you don't stand in faith and begin to pray. Begin to transform your mind that, God, you're great and your grace is sufficient. Maybe this morning you've been trying so hard, and some of you at home right now watching, you have been trying so hard on your own. And it's time for you to lay your will down at the feet of Jesus.
That's good.
Say, God, your grace is enough. Not my will, but your will be done. God, I need your help. Lord, I need you today. Holy Spirit, maybe your making room begins with you having an upper room experience today. Of going before and saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Do you know what took place after the upper room? A lot of people get caught up on, well, they've spoken other tongues and people thought they looked drunk. And okay, that's beautiful. Speaking in tongues is a part of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But what took place that day was they began to prophesy. And then Peter, who once was an outsider himself who had denied Christ, was baptized in the Holy Ghost and preached the most radical spirit-filled message of his life, and over 3,000 people got saved, and then the church grew. They began to be the church in the church. They made room. That's what this looks like when you allow the Holy Spirit to do this work and to transform your mind, and you hear his voice. He shows you what to do and how to do it. And he leads you and directs you. Then he convicts you of sin. And he says, hey, don't give the devil a place setting at your table this week. Go ahead and allow me to come in. He goes on to say, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Grace to the hearers. When we make room, praise God, we're such a light for Jesus that it's beautiful. Joshua and I were talking about making room in the Word of God, and we both love this story in 2 Kings chapter 4. You guys know the story of the Shunammite woman? Do you know what's cool in 2 Kings 4? And what I love in the beginning, you hear about the widow woman who had her two sons and they were going to be taken away as slaves because she had debts to pay. And it's what they did then. But in the beginning of the chapter, you see one woman who's a widow woman who is a servant of God, who in her place, she cries out to the prophet Elisha and he gives her instruction. And then you read on further in the chapter and you see the Shunammite woman, and in her place, she's just choosing to be obedient, not even knowing what she needs from God, that God's going to give her a miracle, and God blesses her as well. God will meet you where you're at today. Because we see the widow woman here, Elisha comes in and he gives her instruction to say, hey, okay, you're going to have to go to your neighbors and collect all of these jars. What do you have in your home? She had a small little flask of oil. She had to go to all of her neighbors. Do you know how awkward that was? I need your empty jars. He gave her specific instructions, empty jars, as many as you can. Then you're going to go in your home, you're going to shut your door, and you're going to begin to pour. She had to come to a place where she said, yes, Lord, I'll be willing to do what you want me to do. Even if it's awkward, even if it's difficult, even if it puts me in a place where I'm going to have to ask for help, this is what it looks like to make room. And then the jars had to be empty because they had to be filled with the good stuff. You got to clean out what doesn't belong. And then she had to go in and begin to trust the Lord. She had to say yes. She had to pour everything she had. And you know when she was finished pouring, then the oil ceased with the last jar, that very last jar. It was how many jars she collected was how much oil God gave her. So it really depends on you and what you're willing to bring in. You're willing and obedience to say, I'm going to be a doer of the word. Okay, you study the word of God for 2 minutes every 2 weeks, then that's what you're going to get.
Yeah,
but if you make room for God.
Right. We stumbled upon this quote yesterday. So James, if you don't mind throwing it up, says, you have God in the measure in which you desire him. Only remember that the desire that brings God must be more than a feeble, fleeting wish. Wishing is one thing. Willing is quite another. Lazily wishing and strenuously desiring are two entirely different postures of mind. The former gets nothing and the latter gets everything, gets God and with God all that God can bring. You know, that's the question is, where's your desires? Where is that at? Where is this not, it's more than just a notion or just a verbal commitment. It's an actual walking, as we mentioned in Romans, of being a living sacrifice. Are you walking in this? Are you thinking about the things of God, doing the things of God? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Him? Are you being a life filled with worship to God? Asking yourselves these questions. Our concern bringing this message to you is really found in Matthew chapter 22. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business." They were full of other things. Yeah. They were not paying any attention to what was important. They had no time for this. They were their measure of more was consumed with other things, and therefore there was no room for the things of God. So my question is there room for the things of God in your life? And it should actually present more, you should have more room for those things than of this world. So you need to self-examine this week. You need to ask yourself, have I made room for the things of God? Am I ready to sit at that table? Am I ready to be that living sacrifice He's called me to be?
And you know, the widow woman, she cried out to God in her time of need. Life wasn't perfect. Saying yes and pouring everything you have is choosing to even trust God when you're unsure of what everything looks like. To trust God in the darkness. You see, even in the darkness, Christ is the light. And then we move on when you see the Shunammite woman. You know that she was a woman who was barren. And in that time, that was very harsh. That was a harsh thing to bear in those times. And she chose to serve the man of God and feed him herself. And then even went to her husband and said, "I want to build a room on my house for him. Do I have permission for that?" And they chose to build that room. And what God reminded me of, she was preparing for her miracle and she didn't even know it, just out of being willing to say, "Yes, I'll build a room." Because then Elisha said, "What do you need? What can I do for you?" She didn't even want to tell him. It was the servant who said she has no son. And then when Elisha said, "This time next year you're going to have a son," she goes, "Oh no, do not deceive me." She wasn't even willing to ask for that or even hope for it. Many of us right now, you're in a place where you've stopped believing God for things because you dared to even hope that it would happen. And that's a scheme from the enemy to try to keep you underfoot, to not, listen, believing God is our number one key here. Having faith in God. This woman, out of her willing obedience of saying, "Yes, God, I will build a room. Yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I will feed the man of God." God came in and blessed her for her willing obedience. And she was able to trust him even when the enemy came in. Her son died. You know what she said? "It is well." She went out to Elisha. She said, "It is well." They went back to the household. Elisha laid his body over that little boy 2 times. He didn't give up. And the Lord brought that young man back to life in the very room that she had built for Elisha. When you make room for God, you're making room for his miracles in your life. Even in the dark places, even when you don't understand it. But what I love about her is she said yes. In that harsh place, she did what she could for the Lord. And both of these women poured everything out. That's what we had said, right, when we were talking about this. Yeah. Are you willing to pour everything out for Jesus? to make room in your home for what he's asking you to do. For, you know, this scripture in Romans 12 talks about the church. For men and women in the body of Christ. For your brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's saying yes to that. Saying yes to what God's calling you to do right now. To the things of God. Then it's being a doer of the word and not just sitting on your hands and allowing insecurity or shame. Listen, there's no shame in the radiant love of Christ Jesus. No, you've been set free. When you walk in the light of Christ, you're walking in the light of Christ. He's leading and directing you through every path when darkness tries to come in. This is who he is.
Yeah. Let me wrap this up with one last verse. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Some of you in this room may not know this or believe it, but you have received a calling.
Amen.
And so the question is, what is it? And to be prepared for that calling is to be to have a renewed mind, to have a renewed mind, to have a transformational, a new creation of life, of a life-giving Christ inside of you. And that's what you need to be asking yourself so that you are walking in that grace, in that mercy, and you're able to be a fulfilled Christian in all that you put your hands to for the things of God. And God's got something for you, and it is beautiful. There's a gift. There is a portion of faith, grace, and mercy that's been poured out upon each and every one of you in this room. And now it's time to act upon it, to walk in it, and to be the church, as Anna's pointing out. In Ephesians, you read about the helmet of salvation and all these, the beautiful body armor of God. And all of that is to propel you forward,
yeah,
to be able to preach the gospel, to preach its mysteries to people, where people will be in awe of what's happening and what you're saying, and that they will be attracted to this, to that beautiful word of God in their life, and be transformed themselves to continue this moment of transformational power to the generations to come, to preach that message so that people's lives will never be the same. And it's all been given to us to do, to you. Even some of you may say, I'm a feeble individual. I don't know what you're talking about. This is not possible. Well, that's a lie from the devil.
That's right.
And you need to rise up into the calling that God has placed upon your life.
Use what God has given you. The widow woman had a little flask of oil, and it provided all of her needs. The Shunammite woman used her notable position just to serve the Lord. We're going to armor up this week. You know, I like that. It's an everyday process, putting that armor on and getting ready for what God has for us and beginning to believe God again, saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to pour myself out on you this week. And God, I'm going to trust you in everything. And everything that you have for my life. Not doing it in yourself, but doing it in his grace. God's grace is sufficient, y'all.
Yeah.
He's going to see us through, not only that, but in victory and full provision. Those promises that you need to stand back on them. Grab your sword of the Spirit. Buckle your belt of truth around your waist. Put your breastplate of righteousness on. Put your gospel shoes of peace, your helmet of salvation. You got your shield of faith. You are armored up and ready to go. God, I have served you. I'm crying out to you. Satan, you have no place in this household. We're going to see all the jars full. We're going to see the rooms built. And God, you are taking us through to victory. Even when we don't know what's going on around us.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is as your Lord and personal Savior, and you want to make that decision this morning, I'm telling you, don't hesitate. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up and lead us into just another moment of worship. But for all of you that are home, you listen, stay tuned in. Miss Christian's got a great message for your children. And if you need anything at all, email the church at info@trailhead.church. Let us know what's going on. If we need to stand in agreement for prayer, let us know. If you are, if you're wanting to make that decision for Jesus Christ in your life today, then let us know. You can call the church at 336-229-7729. We want to pray with you. We want to we just want to give you the gospel of Jesus Christ. So by all means.
Can we pray for those at home right now?
Absolutely.
Some specific things. And we want to say happy Thanksgiving. Right, church? Could we all yell out happy Thanksgiving? Is that weird? So would everyone hear it at home?
No, sure.
Okay,
go.
1, 2, 3. Happy Thanksgiving! Is that, I mean, I think we can. Is that
we can.
Is that a balloon question right there? Is that what that turned out? Guys, let's pray for people. We've got people that are in need of things right now. And praise God. In Isaiah chapter 60, it says that, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. So for those at home right now that you, and those even here that you have felt like you've been in a darkness, it says the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen over you. So let's come in agreement right now, and we're going to pray for people that have been battling spirit of infirmity, sickness, that need to just begin to breathe and be made whole in their bodies right now. Amen. Father God, we come in agreement right now as the body of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus and the authority you have delegated us, Father. In Jesus' name, we speak to those lungs and command them to be clear and made whole. Lord, I thank you that they are arising off of that bed of affliction and, Lord, to begin to do what you've called them to do in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we curse you, COVID. We bind you in the name of Jesus. You bear no fruit in those that are battling this. You are a spirit of infirmity, and you must bow to Jesus Christ. His name is the greater name above all names. So, Father, we thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for those that have been in a place of spiritual darkness, that have been in a place where they have just felt all alone. Holy Spirit, you are shining upon them right now, and that the glory of the Lord fills their bedroom, fills their living room, fills their car, fills right where they are sitting, Father, ministering to their body, ministering to their mind, Lord, refreshing their spirit. We thank you, Father, for it. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for those that have had lingering symptoms. The very root of it has been paid for on the cross, and by his stripes, you were healed. We thank you, Father, for it. We praise you, Lord, for it. And in Jesus' name, we all said, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, guys at home, thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys next week.